If you would join me in our prayer for understanding of God's Word. Holy Spirit, as your Word is read and preached, pass among your gathered people, opening minds to increase understanding, opening hearts to bind us together in your love. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I just love it when I get to be the liturgist and I open up the Bible, usually on Sunday morning, just to look over it. I have a little bit of dyslexia, so this can be really hard for me sometimes. But when I read it and I see the scripture and it just relates to something that has happened in my life, you know, within the last couple of weeks, because then, you know, just as Pastor Neil says, God is at work in your life. But my life revolves around my cat, who's just a fury right now, and then my wife and my team. So today, we have a that wasn't supposed to be that funny. We have a script.
You might want to rearrange that order, is all we're saying.
So, yeah, don't anybody tell my team I said that. Today, the scripture is basically a rule and an idea of how to be a good Christian. And on our team, we have all these rules. And I tell them every year, we have this book. These are the rules to be a good matador, good teammate. But as you start to be a good teammate, you're going to quit worrying about these rules and just start worrying about being a good teammate. So Friday night, and I started to worry about one of the girls on my team. She wasn't playing as much and starts to be separated from the team, and she is starting to be a little bit of a distraction. And I start to wonder, how am I going to approach this? Because I need to make it positive, because the idea is that she comes back to the team, not to ostracize her anymore. And while I'm thinking about this, one of her teammates sends me this message that says, I think it's really important that we get her on the court and that she plays and that she's feeling like part of the team. And I'm just like, wow, you know, thank you. And then later, she's actually had to go to the emergency room yesterday, cut her leg, and she's okay. She had a couple of stitches in her leg, but she's laying there and she's talking to the doctor who's, you know, putting the stitches in, and the doctor's trying to egg her into being the, you know, egocentric, and he says, are you the star player? And she says, no, the team's the star. And I just thought, wow. So just a few minutes after that, the girls mentioned a rule. I don't let them have cell phones when they're on the van or the bus because they need to talk to their team. And a few minutes after that, one of the girls said, are we allowed to, you know, be on our cell phone? It's only a 45-minute drive home. And I'm just thinking, I'm not even thinking about that right now. You guys are already being a team. I'll let you make the decision. So next, hear this scripture, and then you make the decision on how to be a good Christian. It comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of the two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be one to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there among them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for helping us to continue in worship this morning. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for your word. It speaks. It is life. It is hope. May we understand that you seek for us to experience new life and hope through your word. And all that is said and all that is offered, we focus on you and your grace. It's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. you may have witnessed or even participated in a marathon run. And it amazed me to hear stories of brothers and sisters that I was actually physically speaking to talking about running a marathon. Because yours truly, if I ran a marathon, we would not be spending any more time together. And it would be that rather than that victorious running across, you know, straight up and down and crossing over the finish line and lifting the arms, it would be a pale comparison of crawling and sputtering and falling and laying down there and hoping somebody drug my dead, lifeless body over the cross so I could say I'd at least finished it. I recently climbed up Jester's Trail. I don't know if anybody knows where that is. It's south of the freeway, and I was reminded of this because they showed some pictures of people who were climbing Telegraph Pass. So Jester's Trail was kind of switched back and back and forth and going up and up and up. And if you saw me at the top of that, I did not look victorious at all. I had looked like a guy who had lost things along the way, including his mind, and I was glad that I still had a little bit of water in my bladder, the bladder I wear on my back, by the way, not. And I was glad that I was able to finish, and so I got to the top of the hill, and triumphantly I lifted up my arms and saying, "Thank you, Lord," and there were two buzzards flying overhead. And I looked up at them, and I'm thinking, what would their prayer be? "Thank you, Lord, for this meal we're about to receive, possibly." I'm not sure. You know, life is like that sometimes. You know, we feel like we are at a moment of triumph, and we've really gotten through something, and then we realize that life continues, and there are probably going to be more challenges down the road. And as Christians, we understand as well that just because we are a Christian doesn't mean difficult things no longer happen. It doesn't mean that everything's become smooth. But it does mean that God is at work in our lives, even when the buzzards are circling overhead. God's still at work in our lives. And because of the cross, and because of what that means, there is hope for tomorrow. There's that phrase that has been said over and over and over again, and I'll say it once more: we might not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. God is at work. God is present. God is in control, even when we really wonder how that's possible. One of the ways that we remember that God is at work and in control, and that hope is available for the future, is that we are part of a community of grace. Certainly. We are part of something bigger than ourselves. And it's not just about us. It is about us as the body of Christ. Something more. Certainly, we come into the community of grace carrying all sorts of things. And maybe for the very first time, whenever we come into the community of grace, we're carrying some questions. We're wondering, we're pondering about some things that have gone on in our lives, and maybe the very first time that we come into a community of grace, otherwise known as the church, we think, well, how is this going to be? How am I going to be received? What's going to take place? Is anybody going to be nice? All of these things are important. But all of these things, people not only being nice, But actually pointing towards God can happen in a community of grace when we realize who is in charge? God. When we understand that God is the only source of grace, when we understand that God is the only source of joy as well, and we understand that that is who we count on. Certainly, we love seeing other people whenever we come to church, right? And you love sitting with certain people. And maybe you even have a certain seat that you sit in every time you come to church. Let me share just a very, 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 very quick small comment. If somebody is sitting in your seat, it's not being a community of grace going up and saying, "You're sitting in my place." This is open to all people. Anyone who comes through those doors and anyone who comes in those doors needs to be welcomed into this place. Because it's all about God. In the scripture passage today, Jesus is talking about one of the most important things that is involved in building a community of grace. And that is reconciliation. Forgiveness. Seeking healing in the midst of brokenness. Let me share something with you that he said, that he offered and illustrated right before the scripture reading that we received today. Right at the very beginning of Matthew 18, a question comes up to him. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Maybe thinking, "He's going to say me." He, Jesus, called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly," and whenever Jesus said that, he was always saying, pay attention, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble," notice the disciples said, who would be greatest? What does Jesus respond with? What term? Humble. "Like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea." Very clear. Humility. Being willing to be vulnerable before God. And being willing to follow how God is leading us rather than saying, "Okay, God, follow me now." All of those things are emphasized by Jesus before he even talks about what it is to be reconciled with one another, what it is to truly be a community based upon God's grace, not our own personalities or feelings. For us, we need to continually be mindful of these words. As Reverend Jeremy Troxler says, pseudo-community is an affable but discontented village of little lies. Pseudo-community. It's fake. It's not real. There's a facade up that looks great, but it's not real. Whenever you get behind it, there's no support. There's nothing of substance. So every time that we seek to be real with one another, every time that we seek to be honest with one another in love, in true love, we are building actual community. We are building a community of grace. Reverend Troxler continues, "Jesus calls us to be more than a pseudo-community. He calls us to be a forgiven and forgiving people so saturated in grace that we can risk being honest with each other Think about that. Truly risking being honest with someone. Have you ever had to have that kind of conversation with someone? Someone that you really did care about. Somebody that God had put in front of you for a reason, and you knew it, and there was something beyond either of you that was taking place, and yet you needed to approach that person and maybe offer some difficult or challenging words. Have one of those conversations. That takes a lot out, doesn't it? But it also builds a firmer foundation than just going around and us asking each other, well, how are you doing today? Fine. Can I stop smiling now? Am I out of church? What we're doing is building something that speaks to the eternal. Building something that is lasting. Not just participating in some organization or club, but actually being the body of Christ in the world. What does Reverend Troxler say? Forgiven and forgiving. Understanding that we have received forgiveness, so should we be a channel of forgiveness? Yes. Even when that takes every ounce of energy that we can muster. Jesus offers words that are very clear about peacemaking and how we go about addressing challenges in the faith. How we go about addressing those buzzards that are circling overhead. And we think, well, that shouldn't be happening in the church. Well, the church is a gathering of humanity, and so we bring all that we are, but there's even more that is present, and that is God's grace. That's what makes it different from anything else. And so we bring all of that, we bring all that we are, we come as we are, and we say, Lord, here I am. And whenever we seek to be honest with one another, forgiving and loving with one another, Jesus' words later on in the passage make more sense. Because if we are seeking to be a true community of grace, then what happens? Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Now, oftentimes, whenever you schedule an event as a pastor and nobody shows up, and it's just a small group, pastors always kind of say, well, where two or more are gathered. But this means so much more. What it means is that Jesus is saying, as you seek to be honest and open, as you seek to rely on God's grace more than anything else, as you seek to trust in God first and follow God, then your community that you are building, your community of grace, can be trusted to make the right decisions. You see that? So as we seek to be that honest place of dialogue and discussion and sometimes disagreement, but we do it in love, understanding that God first loved us, guess what? The decisions, the work, the effort, the kingdom building that we do is going to be for something so much greater. That's why it's exciting for me to look out and see the kingdom taking place here. And the community of grace being formed. There's a mutual interdependence upon Christ. But these words of Father Mark Thibodeau are words that I offer you as well. about what it is to be part of something bigger. We're not a whole bunch of different individuals here. We are part of something larger, something greater. And he offers us these words. Like the baby Jesus, I need a holy family to belong to. I need to belong to something bigger than myself. And thank you for that wonderful sermon tie-in. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. That was awesome, Tristan. Thank you. If I don't, then I run the risk of developing a sort of God and me spirituality with no support systems to hold me up when I am weak, no prophets to challenge me when I am wrong, and no party mates with whom I may celebrate the Lord's goodness in my life. We are in this together. And isn't it great that we are in this together? Isn't it great to be part of the family of God? Isn't it wonderful to be part of something bigger, better, a community of grace? We are reminded of that grace right here, right now, as we gather at this table as well. Because this is all about God's grace. Those who will be serving communion, I ask to come forward at this time. Those who will be serving communion, please come forward at this time. And we remember later on after this particular time with the disciples, later on, Jesus gathered with them again. And he broke bread as they were having a meal. And he said, "This is my body." And at that point, they had to be thinking about the fact that they are part of the body. Not just receiving Christ, but in receiving Christ, understanding that they were part of something much bigger. Loved, washed over with God's grace, forgiven. As you receive this morning, you receive all of that as well. The body of Christ, broken for the people of God. And we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And after the supper, Jesus poured out the wine and offered extraordinary words. Still, extraordinary. This represents my blood shed for you. If they didn't remember and realize that they were forgiven yet, this was a clear and mighty, powerful sign. This shed for you. You are forgiven. That means you're free. You're God's people. You belong to Him. The blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of sins and for the people of God. And we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is an open table. That means all are welcome to receive these elements of grace, these reminders that we are a community of grace as well. After the communion stewards receive them, you will be directed to come forward by the ushers.